This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with major developments in the Massachusetts lawsuit challenging President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration. A new State Department memo has surfaced revoking the visas from visitors from seven Muslim-majority countries named in Trump's order. And the memo may explain why travelers with tickets to Logan Airport are not being allowed to board flights, despite a Boston federal court order on Sunday that put a seven-day hold on Trump's actions. Joining us now with more is WBUR's Shannon Dooling. She's been reporting on this story today. Hi there, Shannon.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so this new State Department memo, what's in it?
Right, so the memo's dated January 27th, the same day President Trump signed his executive order. It's signed by Deputy Assistant Director for Visa Services, Edward Ramotowski, and it provisionally revokes all valid non-immigrant and immigrant visas of people from the seven countries listed in the executive order. So Iraq, Iran, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, Libya, and Yemen. So by using the word provisionally there, it basically means that it can be reversed at some point by the State Department. Now, it does list exceptions for people traveling on diplomatic visas, but this memo would apply to student visas, travel visas, any non-diplomatic visa, really. And I should say, Meghna, this does not appear on the State Department website that I could see. It's not clear that visa holders who are affected have even been notified.
Interesting. So, I mean, as far as we know, the public wasn't made aware of this memo until today, even though, as you said, it's dated the same day as the president's executive order.
Correct.
So how does this impact the ruling then from Boston Federal Court that we mentioned, the one that came through on Sunday morning that put a seven-day stay on the executive orders?
Well, it basically renders some of those actions ordered by the Boston Federal Court moot, really. I mean, because that order issued by judges happened early Sunday morning, and it specifically sought to protect all lawful immigrants, so all lawful visa holders. And so if the State Department issued this memo, as it's dated, on Friday, the 27th, effectively revoking visas for people traveling from those seven countries, then those folks would not have been valid visa holders by the time the order was issued here in Boston. I spoke with Carrie Doyle. She's one of the lawyers representing the plaintiffs in federal court. Here's how she explained it.
We had been under the impression it was more a problem with Customs and Border Protection and the admission process, and then the coordinating with the airlines, but we were unaware until that information became was released that there was an official memo from the State Department addressing the issue.
So this is why this is a major shift. It's taking the focus away from Customs and Border Protection, putting it back in Washington,
right,
and the State Department. But Shannon, when and where was this memo, or how was it first made public?
Right. So it is part of the court filings now in federal court here in Boston, but it wasn't filed until immediately before the lawyers working on this case issued their amended order. So basically, lawyers are telling me that they didn't know about this last weekend when they filed the original request. And like I said, they only learned about it immediately prior to filing this new petition. So they're sort of digesting the new information and coming up with a new strategy in terms of how to approach it in court. They were given the memo by the government. A State Department spokesperson says that at the request of the Department of Homeland Security and in compliance with the president's executive order, the Department of State has revoked visas for those seven countries. Those visas are not valid for travel to the U.S. while the executive order is in place. Now, the spokesperson did say that this has no impact on the legal status of visa holders who are already in the U.S., but presumably, those people should probably stay put, as they likely would not be allowed re-entry.
I see. So just to keep the sort of TikTok calendar straight here, this State Department memo, this new one that we're talking about, just to remind folks, it was issued, it was written up on January 27th,
same day
as the president's executive orders.
Right.
It was filed in Boston federal court yesterday.
That's what the date at the top of the sheet that we've obtained says. It says filed January 31st, 2017.
Okay. And yesterday, of course, was also the day that the new case that Massachusetts is bringing against the president and his executive orders was announced.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So so that was announced right after lawyers received a copy of this memo.
Right. So that brings us to this new case, which was, of course, supported by Attorney General Maura Healey. She talked about it at length yesterday, filed today by the ACLU of Massachusetts and others. This new case wants parts of that executive order to be declared permanently unconstitutional, to go beyond that 7-day stay. So how does this State Department memo then affect the case that's currently on its way to federal court?
Right. I think it's unclear right now how this information will affect things. What we do know is that lawyers are, like I said, trying to react and really come up with a strategy now that they have this new knowledge from the State Department memo. Carrie Doyle had this to say.
It's such new information, we need to digest it. And okay. I mean, as any litigation, you know, things come up, you have to make decisions on how to respond. So we're just digesting the information now, and then we'll make decisions going forward.
So a footnote in the new lawsuit actually states that lawyers for the plaintiffs didn't receive a copy of the memo until immediately, the State Department memo, until immediately prior to filing this latest amended order. So they are reserving the right to amend the amended petition.
Right. In fact, I'm looking at the footnote right here. It says, this document, being the memo, was never before disclosed to the plaintiffs, nor was it disclosed to this court, meaning federal court, at the hearing on January 28th.
Right.
Plaintiffs reserved their right, as you said, to further amend this petition once the action, or purported action, in their words, by the assistant secretary is investigated. So lots going on here. Shannon, obviously you'll keep reporting on this, but what does it mean for the people who have bought tickets or are still hoping, planning to fly to the U.S. through Logan?
Well, so we had been seeing that lawyers and advocates were actually encouraging people to reroute through Boston's Logan after the court order was issued last weekend. And now that's not such good advice, it seems. If they are not lawful permanent residents, if people do not have a green card from those seven countries and they're instead traveling or trying to travel on a visa, the State Department has likely revoked it per that memo, and they will not be able to board the plane headed for the U.S. Now, Carrie Doyle, the lawyer, says she and her colleagues are trying to get this information out to immigration lawyers abroad to try to prevent people from, say, you know, buying a new ticket, trying to get into Logan and incurring all of that expense. But, you know, and thinking that they'll be able to land here because, in fact, chances are they won't be able to get on that plane.
Well, that's WBUR's Shannon Dooling bringing us up to speed on this major development in the federal case Massachusetts is bringing against President Trump's executive actions on immigration. This new State Department memo that has just recently surfaced, revoking visas for issued for visitors from seven different Muslim majority countries. Shannon, we've got links to the letter, memo, and the official complaint that's being filed in federal court at our website.
That's right. You can find it at WBUR.org.
Shannon, thank you as always.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's turn now and get some reaction from a member of the Massachusetts congressional delegation. Bill Keating represents the 9th District. He also serves on the House Homeland Security Committee. He joins us from Washington. Congressman Keating, welcome back to the show.
Well, Meghna, it's great to be here. And if what I just heard, as your listeners heard, probably could be described in one word, it's not a legal word, chaos. And that is what's happening and what's happened through this whole executive order. You know, it's on so many levels, it's created very serious problems. And one of them clearly is showing a lack of governing because getting this information, not making it available to counsel that it brings suits forward. I was a DA before I did this job, and it's just not the way you handle legal issues, that so directly affect people's lives in particular. So the hardship continues, and the chaos just changes day to day on handling of this. But there are some things we do know about this, and I know also as the ranking member on terrorism and the Foreign Affairs Committee that we are less safe with this executive order.
We are less safe, you say?
We are less safe. There's just no doubt in my mind, and I've been involved in this for several years now on the committees, both committees, Homeland Security and Foreign Affairs, and our greatest threat, just to put it in perspective, to our country and the citizens here, are homegrown extremists, people that are already here. Now, this executive order provides some of the strongest propaganda material that terrorist groups like Daesh or ISIS, that they have at their disposal, and they're already using it. They're saying, you know, see, we told you the U.S. hates Muslims, and they're stirring people up. And the greatest danger is radicalizing someone that is already here with this kind of potent, it's not really propaganda, even though it's being used that. It's it's describing what the order is. And then even on the ground, this type of order hurts our military in the field. They rely on information, often from people that were in Iraq, you know, citizens, or people in Syria, people in Afghanistan. They risk their lives giving our military in the ground important information, you know, where there's an IED, the actions of the Taliban or extremist groups, the translators that are necessary to talk to local people.
Well, yeah, and in fact, in the initial days following the executive order, there was great confusion about whether those people, even after providing honorable assistance to the U.S. military, would be allowed to come to the United States. But Congressman, let me ask you, I mean, just this morning, President Trump tweeted, quote, "Everyone's arguing whether it is or isn't a ban. Call it what you want. It's about keeping bad people with bad intentions out of the country." And I would say, like, a lot of people agree with that. That's what they think this executive order has accomplished.
Well, yeah, he's describing something that's not real. You know, there hasn't been a lethal terrorist attack back since, I think, 1975 or more, long before these other groups sprung up. From these seven, no one can really find one person that came from these seven countries. And he's describing it himself as a ban. I think he's trying to retreat because there's legal implications to that. But that's what it is. And it's also a ban of a religion. And no matter what he calls it, that's what it really is. So, you know, we're dealing in this new administration with alternate facts. Well, it continues. But importantly in this, you know, we're demonstrating as a country that we're also a rule of law country. And our courts have taken action. Now, it's complicated by this locally by this latest memo. But we're also demonstrating free speech and how people have come, you know, to the streets, to the airports, to Congress, you know.
Yeah.
The other day, we had several thousand people in front of the Supreme Court on just very short notice as part of a demonstration. So we're demonstrating we have that. But this is a serious problem that will have long-term impact on the way we're viewed in the world as well.
Well, Congressman Keating, at the top of our conversation, I reminded folks that you sit on the House Homeland Security Committee. I mean, are there discussions going on between your fellow committee members? Is there any action that that members of the House can take? Like, I'm just wondering, as a lawmaker, as a representative for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, what do you think you can or should do?
Well, I'm an original co-sponsor of a bill that would repeal this if we could ever get it to the floor for a vote, which, given the Republican majority, is not likely with a Republican president. But if it were, I think we would have a good chance of repealing it and starting from scratch if we had people voting on it. And certainly the public would like to see where their congressman stands to be accountable in this whole effort. Also, using my position on the Foreign Affairs Committee, you know, I've contacted Secretary Kelly asking for further clarifications. He is late to the game. I don't think he was informed at an early time what the exact executive order was. He was left out of that.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday in a press conference, he said that his staff was, quote, generally informed. That's as specific as he got.
Yeah, well, I saw the same clip, and I think it's basically he said in the campaign he said he was going to do this. Well, you know, the way you govern on very important individual rights, basic human rights, and translate into an order legally, you should do that with some exactness. And we're just finding out again today with this memorandum that surfaced just how inept that effort was.
Mm. Well, Congressman Bill Keating represents Massachusetts' 9th District. He sits on the House Homeland Security and Foreign Affairs Committees as well. Congressman Keating, thanks so very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for keeping the public informed on what is a fundamental issue.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.